This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The Trump administration now asking a federal appeals court to give the president the unilateral authority to deport non-citizens under the Alien Enemies Act. Fighting the judge who halted the deportation flights this weekend under the while he reviews the Wartime Act, ABC's Catherine Falder says more.
The federal judge overseeing this case here in Washington, D.C., has given the Department of Justice, the administration, a one-day extension to answer the questions that he requested that they answer about those two deportation flights that took off over the weekend on Saturday during one of his court hearings. Those two flights were in the air in court. Judge Boasberg, who's overseeing the case, ordered that those planes be turned around. The administration decided not to follow his order, did not turn those planes around, and now the judge wants more information.
The Fed board leaving interest rates unchanged for now while it monitors, it says, inflation and concerns over tariffs. This is ABC News.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
Beginning April 21st, Richland County will have a new administrator. The Richland County Board of Supervisors approved the hiring of current Health and Human Services Director Tricia Clements as the new county administrator at last night's county board meeting. The board also approved Brittany Paulus as the new administrator of Pine Valley Community Village. Angela Wall has been serving as the interim director. Interim County Administrator Derek Kalish reminded the board in public that anyone interested in serving District 3, which is vacant following the death of Marty Brewer, should submit a letter of interest. All letters of intent are due by 4 o'clock Friday, March 28th. More information can be found on the Richland County Government website. He also reported that they have reposted an opening for the County Finance Administrator. Kalish reported that the candidate who accepted the position backed out at the last minute. Richland County Highway Commissioner Josh Elder reported that work on the West Bridge to the campus will begin next month. The cost of replacing the bridge can be covered by the state grant of $2 million available to campuses that are closed. The Richland County Board of Supervisors approved a resolution covering short-term rental property. The resolution was brought forward to ensure that the quality of a short-term rental operating within the county is adequate for protecting public health, safety, and general welfare by establishing a minimum standard of space for human occupancy and parking, adequate level of maintenance, and the responsibilities of owners and property managers operating or managing these rental properties for tourist or transient occupants. The cost to a short-term rental owner will be $25 per year and will not take effect until January 1st, 2026.
For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Packers add a wide receiver. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers have signed wide receiver and kick returner Mecole Hardman. He turned 27 last week, 5'10", 195 pounds. He won 3 Super Bowl rings with the Chiefs before spending some time with the Jets. Andy Reid on why they took him back.
He brings good energy and to the other couple guys that we have. Speed, not the biggest guy, but speed guy, so... Hey, you like those light components.
Hardman ran a 4.340 his rookie season. He signs a one-year deal with Green Bay. March Madness, the Badgers arriving in Denver last night, getting ready for their game tomorrow against Montana. NBA, the Bucks losing at Golden State, 104-93. Giannis says the Bucks need to be more aggressive.
As a team, you just got to play free. There's got to be like a joy within the game and stop thinking about like negative stuff.
That's Giannis Antetokounmpo with Sports On. I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Winter weather advisory continues this evening for snow showers mixed with rain and sleet in the evening. An inch or two of accumulation possible. Lows in the low 20s and breezy. Areas of blowing snow. Clearing for tomorrow afternoon. High low 40s.
It's 34 right now. Earl Ingram.
Do you live your life in fear, man? Republicans continue to lead people to believe the boogeyman's coming to get you. It's those immigrants. It's people of color. They're coming to get your babies. Never mind. You live in River Hills, where there's very little crime, if any. What are you afraid of, man? Nobody's coming to get you. And yet, people buy into that foolishness.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We are the keepers of the wild. For more than 80 years, we've been committed to conserving the natural landscapes that define our nation. Nothing is more important than maintaining wild spaces for adventurers to explore and wildlife to thrive. We are America's hunters and target shooters. Together with firearm, ammunition, and archery manufacturers, we've supported the conservation of more than 36 million acres of American wildlands. For more information, visit OutdoorStewards.org.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. The chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, Ben Wickler, joins us to talk about the April 1st election and more. Be there.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is News from the Center, WRCE. Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. And now, a guy who does his own stunts, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight, ladies and gentlemen. Hello, Wisconsin. Did you guys enjoy spring while it was here? It was here for a little while. Conrad, how you doing? I know you get extra bummed out by the weather.
Yeah, so it sucks.
I have to check with you first because your mood seems to be affected, as does mine, by the weather. I'm not happy. I like being at the studio to do the show. I just feel more like with it, but man, is it crappy out.
Yeah, it's not fun outside right now.
What did you do to tick off Mother Nature? That's all I want to know.
I had my windows like all the way open, like both. I had my big door open, my windows, and they're like, no.
I don't think so.
Yeah, it's still March. You thought.
Oh, it's awful. I mean, it's just like, and then, you know, here's what typically happens. Like, I'll do something or I'll change my plans, and then the weather isn't really that bad. And I'm like, oh, okay, I could have traveled or gone somewhere or whatever. But today, no, I decided early on, I'm not driving to Green Bay. And sure enough, it got really bad. So what are you looking at there? Give me your window weather forecast.
Well, a little bit before it was hailing, I started hearing the cracks on the window. But okay. Now it seems like it's a mix of snow and rain right now. And it seems like 15 degrees outside right now.
Well, I'm hoping this show cheers me up as much tonight as we hopefully will cheer other people up, given the weather and whatever happened during their day. It's great to have you with me here at Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Wherever you're joining us from in Wisconsin, hope you had a good day despite the weather. Sometimes, you know, it's just best to stay inside and accept the powers that, you know, what is thrown at us in terms of weather or circumstance. So let's talk about movies tonight. I have two great guests you guys are going to love from the show Bosch Legacy. And he's also been on the show Bosch. He has been on the show for the entire run. I want to say it was 7 seasons of Bosch with Titus Welliver. And now the 3rd season of Bosch Legacy is about to drop on Freevee March 27th. So that's just a week away. Actor Scott Clase will join me at 6:35. He is such a great run. He plays Mank, the watch commander of the Hollywood station on Bosch. And it's just a great cop show. It's one of my favorite all-time cop shows. If you haven't checked it out, I highly recommend it. I've gone through the whole series twice, once initially, and then I got sick about 5 years ago, and I watched almost all of it again. So a really, really good, a really solid show. Scott is a great part of it. He'll join us at 6:35. And then our pal and Madison film critic and CityCast newsletter editor. You know his name, right, Conrad?
I think he's been on the show a couple times before.
He's been on the show a few times. He's one of our good pals. Rob Thomas comes by at 7:20. We're going to talk about some new films Rob has seen and what we should be watching. And we'll maybe dip our toe into the Wisconsin Film Festival waters. They have some cool films that will be shown there coming up. It starts in just about a couple weeks. So Rob will, he did an overview of the festival in CityCast Madison. So I'll ask him about that tonight at 7:20 as well. In the meantime, I have to say, this is an exciting week and it feels like spring right now. And I know people probably aren't thrilled with the snow because even people who like snow and like the outdoors, you can't really go snowmobiling in crappy weather that's not going to be here that long. Like the snow is not going to last that long. You can't ice fish. So it's just a bad deal for outdoor guys and girls and inside people like myself. Yes, I'm a self-professed couch potato. Not to say I don't exercise, but I'm an inside guy. So what? Let's celebrate that tonight on Nightlight. We got some good conversations, some good interviews, and some good clips. And we're going to talk right now a little bit about a big game happening tomorrow. Conrad, how do you like the Badgers' chances?
I love the chances tomorrow.
Against Montana?
Yeah, I think we got a couple days rest, which is good. And I think we can really play well in this tournament if we definitely, you know, play faster, not slow, like Mike Clemens said yesterday. But
yeah,
I think we have a good chance against Montana. And then I think it's going to be VCU we face, but after that, but.
Is that who you picked? I still have two brackets I have to fill out. I filled out one last night.
You don't even want to know how many brackets I filled.
Well, this is, you know, what are we doing here? You can tell us. This is radio. If it's a crazy amount, I can tease you about it. And if I don't think it's a crazy amount, I can tease you about that too. How many?
I think it's up to the 30 now.
Dude, you're a maniac.
I'm trying to be that 30 one person. Brackets? I'm trying to be that one person that gets it perfect.
That is incredible.
Yeah.
Now here's what you got to tell me too. Now tell me that you filled out all of them are the exact same, like buying the same lottery ticket.
Yeah. I actually did one where all the lower seeds win.
Just for kicks?
And then there's another phenomenon that hasn't happened yet. And it's the bracket was zero correct wins.
That's never happened?
Yeah. No one has ever had a perfect, and no one has ever had an unperfect.
Is that right? Wow, that is incredible.
I think they should get $1 million for getting zero correct, to be honest.
For being an absolute loser. Yeah, you should get some money for that. I agree. But the Badgers play tomorrow. I think it's at noon, if I'm not mistaken.
12:30.
Does that sound right to you? 12:30, okay. Yep. So it's good. We'll get to watch it. I'll get to watch it while I'm prepping the show. Hopefully the roads will be plowed by then, and I can be in Green Bay tomorrow night, but... either way, it'll be good to watch the Badgers, and it gets me thinking every year at this time, folks, how great the NCAA, what can I say and what can't I say? I can say the big dance.
Yeah, the big tournament.
We just can't use the words MM, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So if I were going to go out marching in the madness of this storm, no, I think, folks, that I think this is the greatest sporting event that we have of the year, hands down. And I'm going to tell you why after we introduce our question of the night.
Let's talk about the question.
Okay, question.
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 Pregunta.
Question.
Question.
Okay, I have a question.
Questions.
This question.
Domanda.
Question.
Question.
Questions.
What? Very important, folks. What is the best sporting event of the year? The best sporting event. And I'm saying that as we enter the NCAA tournament, which kind of technically has already started. There's another play-in game tonight, right?
Yeah, one's going on right now. I think it's the two 16 seeds. And then later it's Texas and I can't think of the other team. But
like two 11 seeds or something.
Yep.
Right? Like, okay, so... technically, the tournament has started, but to me, this is the best sporting event.
Yep.
Hands down. The Super Bowl can be great. It isn't always. Sometimes it's a blowout. Sometimes it's just not that exciting. More often than not, I would say it's fun to watch. It's exciting. But it's one game. If it's a clunker, it's a big letdown. The World Series can be a sweep. You might Somebody might win 4-1, 4-0. Maybe you get a game seven that goes into extra innings or whatever. Maybe for that year, the World Series is better. Same thing with the NBA Finals or the NHL. The Masters, I guess, can be exciting. Not personally to me, that's not my thing, but I get why people like it and why it can be so exciting and come down to a putt. The Indy 500, maybe. But the NCAA tournament, to me, is easily the best sporting event there is. With all those games, you are certain to have upsets, heartbreak, amazing moments on the court. It just is unparalleled. To me, it is the greatest event in sports. I wouldn't even say basketball is my favorite sport to watch, but you cannot be. These are kids, basically, who are becoming adults. And it doesn't matter, women, men, whatever. Both tournaments, you have the same elements. And that is why the NCAA tournament is the greatest sporting event that we have. Fight me on it if you want. I'd love to hear what your reactions are. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. What is the best sporting event? That's tonight's question. Hey, man, what do you say?
I totally agree. The NCAA tournament is always my favorite time of the year. It brings some of my friends together. I always have a big pool with my friends, so it's always fun to fill out and just kind of see what they think and stuff like that. But so my best memories are in high school. The teacher's like, "All right, today we're gonna do a lesson, but on the smart board over there is gonna be a game."
Because they were really into the tournament.
Yeah, I had one teacher that let me eat lunch in his room, so he had it on the smart board, and I'd watch it in his room for lunch. Great. Yeah, it was some of the best moments. And I mean, the women's tournament's getting pretty good now too. UWGB Absolutely. Is back in it.
Are they? Okay,
yep.
Great.
Yep.
And you know, you just reminded me. I was going purely from a sporting event aspect.
Mm-hmm.
But the community and the camaraderie you have with your friends. I remember going out after NC State beat Houston, humongous upset in 1983. Me and my buddy Tony went out and shot baskets for 2 hours. It was just a gorgeous spring night, and it was like one of my favorite memories. Then in college, you sit around and you watch the tournament for 4 straight days in week one, and then you keep watching it.
Yeah.
When I was on the road with the other comics, I'd watch it. Now I watch it with my son and my daughter. It's just a great gathering event, too. So that's a great point you just made. And some of the memories you have just watching this tournament, to me, by far and away, the best event in sports. But completely open to other opinions, would actually welcome them. So tell me what your favorite sporting event is. What is the best sporting event or your favorite? 855-752-4842. You can text us on the app. It's very easy to use. Just go to any one of the stations on Civic Media and click the text icon. Conrad, how can people reach us on the stream?
Yeah, so if you go to Facebook, we're under WISS, WGBW, or Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. On YouTube, it's Civic Media or WGBW. And on Twitter, it's Civic Media or WGBW.
Love it. And if you're there, if you're at one of these platforms or Facebook watching, give us a like or a follow. We'd love to get those. Always nice to feel appreciated. And give us your text, folks. You guys are as much a part of the show as anybody because it's so fun reading your texts. We've had a lot of fun. And this is not a food-related question, Conrad. We're putting ourselves out there tonight.
Yeah.
But I think the people will speak if they're not already watching the amazing NCAA tournament. Scott Clace from the show Bosch Legacy is here in just a few minutes. Rob Thomas in the second hour. When we come back, we'll read your texts and a very funny clip that involves, I can't believe I'm doing this. I found a clip that involves Gary Oldman and farting, and we're going to play that next. This is Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Judge Brad Schimmel is an anti-choice politician whose positions are too extreme for Wisconsin women. He supports a pre-Civil War law that bans abortion. But don't take our word for it. Hear it in his own words.
In 1849, ban on abortions. Which, by the way, what is flawed about that?
The 1849 abortion ban provides no exceptions for rape or incest.
What is flawed about that?
The 1849 law criminalizes doctors and their patients.
What is flawed about that?
Brad Schimmel supports an 1849 law to ban abortion with no exceptions. Tell Brad Schimmel, extreme politics don't belong on Wisconsin's Supreme Court. Call 262-548-7548. That's 262-548-7548. Paid for by A Better Wisconsin Together, Incorporated.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. Folks, we've got to talk about Derek Van Orden. The second-term congressman representing Wisconsin's 3rd District is at it again, dodging public meetings and making all kinds of unhinged comments. As many scramble and struggle to understand the chaos of what's happening in Washington, D.C. and how it's impacting people here in Wisconsin, Van Orden has been as frustrating and disrespectful as ever. In one instance, Van Orden took to social media to berate a veteran who had been fired from his job at the VA by Elon Musk's Department of Government Efficiency. And the veteran in question is simply someone who was just reaching out to his congressman, looking for answers. Van Orden's office has also hastily canceled public meetings, and he has made some especially wild accusations about people who have been attending these public events. Congressman Van Orden needs to stop this unhinged madness, and more importantly, be more available and accountable to his constituents.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Our question tonight is, what is the best sporting event? I say the NCAA tournament, hands down. Conrad says the NCAA tournament, hands down. We both like it because of what it does for sports. The actual sport and the games are amazing. But as he pointed out earlier, just bringing groups of people together to watch the tournament, it's such a great event. It's like a constant Super Bowl party. Yeah. And you know what? I'll say this. It's that first weekend that's the best.
Mm-hmm.
You've got 32 games over the first 2 days. And there was a year, like maybe last year or the year before, where there were not as many upsets. And I was kind of bummed. It seemed like kind of a downer, but it still wasn't. It was still amazing. And so even in an off year, the tournament is great. But it's an absolute blast. So that's our question tonight. What is your favorite or the best sporting event? 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Corey from Watertown says the rolling of the wheel of cheese is the best sporting event. I'm not sure what to do with that. You know what he's talking about, Conrad?
I don't know.
Corey, we need some help with that one, buddy. The rolling of the wheel of cheese. I don't know if that's a metaphor or if that's actually some kind of sport that exists, like cockfighting, that's like under the table or something that I don't know about. So let us know, Corey, what you're referring to there. Brian from Green Bay says Olympic luge and skeleton. The Olympic luge. All right. That's interesting. I will say, like, I like all of those, you know, Olympic events. Watching the gymnasts is incredible. Some of the things they can do are more impressive than a guy catching a pass or even hitting a baseball. I cannot believe what they do with their bodies. And I have the ultimate appreciation for that. However, I kind of watch it for a few minutes and I'm like, they can all do it. This guy's doing it just a shred of a hair better than that guy or that girl. So they get a little bit better score. It's a competition, but not necessarily head to head. So I totally appreciate what you're saying, Brian. I like all those sports. And you could argue the Olympics, too, maybe outshine the NCAA tournament. The Olympics are once every 4 years, but that's a good argument. Monica from Mount Horeb says, the Lucha Libre, Mexican wrestling, very entertaining. You've ever watched that, Conrad?
I've seen the movie.
Nacho Libre? That's not Lucha Libre. I haven't seen. Look, there are no right or wrong answers here. It's whatever you like, so I actually love these answers. The luge. How about the two-man luge? Do you think that gets a little awkward sometimes?
The two-man?
laying on another dude.
I think they're used to it.
Upright, though.
I think they're probably used to it.
Probably. Brian says, I sold beer at the Kentucky Derby a couple of years. One time I was close enough to have mud kicked on me by the horses. That was amazing. You know, I've heard that from a lot of people at the Kentucky Derby. I've never been there, but it's like, what do they call it? The most exciting 2 minutes in sports or something like that. And for 2 minutes or however long it lasts, you know, you are going to get a bona fide fun event because it always comes down to the wire, but it's so fast. That's why I would argue maybe it doesn't compare to the tournament, but phenomenal. Because I've heard I have friends that go every year. They absolutely love it. More for the atmosphere too, but the horse race is definitely very exciting. Steve from Florida says the best sporting event is if anyone of our Wisconsin college teams are in the finals. The Green Bay Packers in the Super Bowl, Milwaukee Brewers in the World Series, and the Milwaukee Bucks in the NBA Finals. No question about that, Steve. When your team makes it somewhere, it's great. Although I need more from the Badgers. They got so close in 2015. Hopefully that's not as close as they ever get. Yes, I would enjoy that more than I would the tournament as a whole. However, thinking without bias here of my teams, the event as a whole, as it stands, sounds like your dad's kind of agreeing with me, though, Conrad.
Yeah.
Did it ever frighten you how much your dad and I agree?
I don't know.
Not frightened, maybe?
Not really.
Would it be weird if he and I started palling around?
I mean,
all of a sudden, the guy you guys would just have to
flying around all the time. Palling around by having flights.
That's right. Jim from Appleton says the NC2A, both men's and women's, are the best. The only sporting event that comes close is the World Cup. Yeah, okay. Men's and women's. Lots of intrigue, plenty of upsets, so much drama. Yeah, he makes a good argument there. The World Cup's a pretty big deal. Again, it doesn't have the franticness of the tournament. The one and done, all these games, you know, I don't know. Ed from Madison says, I agree with you, but in second place anytime, there is a game 7 in MLB, NBA, or NHL. Yes, Ed, no question about that. A game 7, I will watch a game 7 in any, you know, I don't really follow hockey ever. NHL, Stanley Cup playoffs, game 7. I'm watching that. Love a game 7. Great text, folks. Keep them coming. What is your favorite sporting event? And we've had some great answers so far. Let's play this, Conrad. I found this clip last night. This is Gary Oldman, who's in the show Slow Horses. He plays a despicable bureau chief who runs the Slow Horses. They're kind of like MI5 outcasts, and he's a slob, and his character farts all the time. It's very funny. And here is Stephen Colbert interviewing Gary Oldman and asking him about that.
Do you think any of your previous characters, any of those performances could have been improved by passing gas? Because I have here an example. We took some of our favorite performances of yours and added that undefinable Jackson Lamb quality. Here we go.
And I bid you welcome, Mr. Harcourt, to my house.
Goldman can't stop laughing.
I want you to listen to me very carefully, Harry.
That's brilliant. That's fantastic.
Get off my plane.
Any regrets? I'm holding out this long. Before adding that je ne sais quoi to certain characters.
Oh, God. Yes, very good.
Could have helped a few. Okay.
That is worth a Google, folks. Gary Oldman cannot. He's crying. He's laughing so hard. Great bit by Colbert. All right, we are coming right back with actor Scott Clase, one of the stars of Bosch Legacy. Rob Thomas joins us later in the show. We'll be right back with Nightlight with Peach Wabba.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7, I'm Joanne Krulotz. The University of Wisconsin Organ and Tissue Donation Program is recognized as one of the most successful organ procurement programs in the United States. The program, based in Madison, is dedicated to saving and improving lives through organ and tissue donation, while also supporting donor families with compassion and expertise. Their mission is to advocate for donors, donor families, and recipients while educating healthcare professionals and the public about the importance of organ and tissue donation. Melissa Meyer is a marketing strategist at UW Organ and Tissue Donation. She was on WRCO's morning show with Phil Nee.
What we urge people to think about is not ruling yourself out. People think, oh, I'm too old, or I drank too much, I smoked too much, I'm hard on my body, nobody would want my organs. And that's really not the case. You'd be surprised. There was a case last year where there was a 97-year-old donor who gave an organ to a 65-year-old recipient. So the science is leaping and bounding forward. The research is leaping forward. So we just ask people to don't rule yourself out. Like, leave that decision up to the medical professionals, right? Because you might be able to donate corneas and somebody who was blind can see now, right? There's all kinds of things. There's burn victims, skin. If you've ever had an ACL repair, that was probably donated tissue. So there's all sorts of ways that you can save lives and also improve people's lives through organ and tissue donation.
The UW Organ and Tissue Donation team collaborates with over 100 hospitals across Wisconsin, Michigan, and Illinois to facilitate donations. They manage the entire process for living and deceased organ donors, including evaluation, recovery, preservation, and providing organs for transplant research and education. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. People on social media have been raving about the show Adolescence. They might be onto something, as it is the highest rated show on Netflix for the week of March 10th. The show was discovered by over 24 million viewers between Thursday and Sunday of last week. That's 5 million more viewers than Robert De Niro's Zero Day received, which premiered February 17th. Adolescence almost drew more viewers than a horribly reviewed Chris Pratt, Millie Bobby Brown movie, The Electric State, which took in just over 25 million viewers. Regarding episodic shows, the comedy Running Point finished in second place behind Adolescence with just over 9 million viewers. If you're in the mood for some laughs, check it out as Kate Hudson plays an executive who finds herself running an NBA basketball team. So much bingeable color TV to check out, but your time is valuable. So choose wisely, my fellow couch potatoes. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Winter weather advisory continues this evening for snow showers mixed with rain and sleet in the evening. An inch or two of accumulation possible. Lows in the low 20s and breezy. Areas of blowing snow. Clearing for tomorrow afternoon, high low 40s.
It's 34 right now.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Former Lieutenant Governor Mandela Barnes, he would not be negotiating with the GOP if he was Wisconsin's sitting senator.
I want to clarify, like, I'm always happy to negotiate in good faith, but we're talking about a party that's not acting in good faith. We shouldn't be in a position where we're throwing a life raft to somebody who was hell-bent on sinking the entire ship.
Not something I want to be involved in.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Many of the supporters of Trump voted on good faith and said, look, he says some crazy things, but you know what? He at least is telling me he's going to help my family and bring down the price on my heating bill. And that ain't what they're getting. What they're getting back is a political middle finger. And we're staring a recession straight in the face. And Donald Trump does not care. Because at the end of the day, this was one big grift.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Dom Selvia.
Next time, Trump's Agriculture Department continues to axe food programs to the tune of over $1 billion and counting. Plus, Nancy Pelosi says, don't give away anything for nothing. What did Chuck Schumer get us? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show. Weekdays 4 till 6.
In response to our question tonight, what is the best sporting event there is? Conrad and I both say the NCAA tournament. Ed in Madison says, I agree with you, but in second place. Oh, I already read that. I'm sorry. Hey, where's Tony's comment? I want to make sure I don't leave Tony out.
Yeah, I sent that to you. His...
Oh, you did. Okay, got it. Okay. Tony Zimmerman says on the stream, the NCAA tournament is so good, it ruined the regular season. He also says, I really like the MLB playoffs. The series format builds the intensity. No question about that, Tony. And that's a great point. You know, I still think it's worth it. I still think the tournament, even if the regular season isn't as exciting, I still think the tournament is the best. But great comments. Keep them coming, folks. We love to read your texts on the radio. Rob Thomas, Madison film critic, is coming up in the second hour to give us a preview of the Wisconsin Film Festival and talk about some new films he's seeing and reviewing. Always fun to talk to our pal Rob. And right now, I'm very excited to welcome my next guest. He is an actor on Bosch Legacy. And before that, on the entire run of the show Bosch, he's got over 100 credits and he's an excellent actor. And he joins us now over the stream on Nightlight, Scott Klase. Scott, how are you, buddy?
Easy, my friend. How are you? I'm just sitting here looking at my brackets, my friend.
I was going to start with that with you. I wanted to ask you this question.
Yes.
And I have a feeling I know what you're going to say. I know you're a big Ohio State fan.
I am indeed.
Is this your favorite sporting event of the year, the tournament?
It absolutely is. It absolutely is. everybody does brackets. I probably do three or four of them through various, you know, companies or whatever. But a friend of mine, do I have a second to tell you?
Absolutely.
A friend of mine started a pool, I don't know, probably 10 years ago. I've only been in it for about 7. And what you do is you pick 10 teams. Of the 64, you pick 10. And each time one of those teams that you picked wins, you receive the number of points they are seeded. Oh. Which I think is a fantastic format. And just to make sure people just don't pick long shots, if your team makes it to the finals, you get 10 points. If they win the whole thing, you get 20. And it is just the you have to pick some 13 seeds and some,
wow,
because you know, if you just pick all ones, they could win every game and you'd only have a total of like 16 points. You know what I mean? And the winner usually, go ahead.
No, I was going to say it forces you to take some underdogs or pick some upsets. Oh.
For sure. For sure. I mean, you have to do more than one entry because a lot of times you're out of it by Thursday evening of the opening weekend, you know, because you can only pick so many 10, 11, 12, you know, but lately it's like so many upsets every year that it's wild. It's a lot of fun, though. I really look forward to it.
And it's funny. We were just talking about this, Scott. Like, I like the first weekend, even though, you know, ones are playing 16s, threes are playing 14s. It's the upset and it's the amount of games. It's just
a
frenzy of hoops. And it's so amazing.
I got 4 DVRs going, you know, I'm trying to, I record every game and I have like, I cut out like little pieces of cardboard and I put it across wherever the station I'm on has that crawl that tells you all the scores. So right. I block that so I can't even see it so I can go back and watch the game and not know who won. That's how crazy I am.
That's maniacal. I love it.
I did.
What is that called, Scott? That system you just told us about where you get points. Does that have a name or where could we find it?
You know, a friend of mine's brother started it years ago.
Oh, okay.
And he's got Excel sheets. I mean, when he sends you everybody's entry, because after the, you know, opening day or whatever, the game start, he sends you a list of all the entries and the teams that, of the people and the teams they took. And we're talking about easily 300, 400, 500 entries. And it's $25 per entry. That's probably, I hope I'm not going to mention any names, but it is, the guy is just a Excel Microsoft whiz. And it's just so much fun. I mean, it is. It truly is a lot of fun.
That's so great. You, when we hung out a lot when we were younger or when we had kids in school, I saw some really cool pictures of you. You played college basketball, Scott.
And I did.
That's weird when you see, like, I only knew you at that point as an actor. And I was, obviously we were friends, but I was a huge fan. And I saw you in this picture and you had this huge mop of hair.
Dude, my hair. God.
You know, the short.
I had a bale of hay. I had a bale of hay on my head. Literally, if I went underwater at a swimming pool and I would come back up, the water would just roll off the top layer. It wouldn't even get wet. I mean, it was ridiculous. But yeah, I played in high school in Columbus at, you know, one of the bigger schools. And then, I mean, I was okay. I went to a smaller Division III school, but I was one of two freshmen on the varsity, my freshman. One of two freshmen on the varsity, my first year.
Wow.
But believe it or not, I had started acting a little bit in high school. And there came a point in my sophomore year when I got the lead in the play and the coach called me into his office and he's like, dude, you can't do this play. You know, you're going to miss, you know, it wasn't during the season, but it, you know, college sports, I've learned they just run all year long. You know, they're always in conditioning. They're always having meetings. They're always doing all kinds of stuff. And I kind of thought to myself, you know, I'm never, ever going to make any money playing basketball. I maybe have a shot at this other thing. And so that's kind of what made the decision for me.
Well, you made the right choice. let me put it this way. When you played, could you dunk?
I was very close a couple times. I really was. I was 5'10", and I could get my whole hand over, but I just couldn't get it. No, to answer your question, no. That's a long-winded way of saying
that. The problem is you can't palm the ball. I was like an even 6 feet, and if I had the right sweat amount – I had like a volleyball, I could get it down. I could dunk, can't do that in a game and say, throw me that volleyball real quick. I'm going to throw this thing down, you know? Right. And I was second string anyway, but it's funny you say that because I was into theater too in high school, and my basketball coach, even though I was like second string, he knew how much I liked it. And he said, how come you weren't at the open gym last night? I said, well, I had rehearsal for Windsor Players, you know? And he goes, well, that's not making you any better at basketball. Like, as a 16-year-old jump kid, shot. Yeah, I didn't even know how to take that. I'm like, are you telling me not to do that?
I know.
Like, you know, it's crazy. So how did you make the jump, Scott, from, you know, you're acting in college, you're playing hoops in college. When did you start acting? You must have started right around that point, I'm guessing.
Well, I had, it's really weird. I hate to tell long stories, but you know what? Let's just do it and you can cut me off.
Go for it, man.
The high school I went to my freshman year, it was a brand new high school. We had one high school in my town and it had grown so large that they had to open up another one. And my freshman year, because it was a new high school, they didn't want to break up that year's senior class. And so all the seniors were still at the old high school. So we just had freshmen, sophomores, and juniors in my high school. And a friend of mine who was a wrestler was doing a play. I'd never seen a play. And I went to watch him. It was that, you know, that high school staple, The Diary of Anne Frank.
Yeah.
And I was watching him up there. And I thought it was just like the coolest thing I had ever seen.
Wow.
And so I signed up for an acting class. And I was doing a scene. I'll never forget it. I was doing a scene from this old play called The Rainmaker, which is an old Burt Reynolds movie about this con man who goes to these, these desert towns and swears he can make it rain. And I was doing this scene. I was really nervous. And I was like 1/5 of the way through it. And the teacher said, let's just stop for a second. And I thought, oh God, this is not good. And he said, Scott, I need to talk to you out in the hall. And I was like, oh my God, this is really bad. And he took me out to the hall and said, listen, you and I are going to walk down to the registrar's office right now and you're going to sign up for acting one.
Wow.
I know this is a true story. I swear to God. And I was really kind of blown away by that. And that's how I started doing plays in high school. But I thought like all high schools were like mine. And when I went to college and started nosing around the theater department, that's when I saw that it was a lot of, you know, alternative kind of kids. I mean, I was doing plays. We were all jocks, for God's sakes. In my high school. And I was just kind of blown away by that, but I really kind of liked it. And so I started in college. And then when the day I graduated, I drove to New York City like an idiot. I didn't know anybody. I had my college was not one of those that prepare you for stuff like that at the time. You know, you hear about colleges now, they send their kids to New York yeah. LA for 6 months, you know, in an agent's office, you know, working on a sound, whatever. I had none of that. And I lasted about 3 years, never had one audition. And I finally went back to Ohio with my tail between my legs. And a childhood friend's father knew of this new theater that was opening up that was with some really good people. And that turned out to be, you know, great for me. It was this little tiny theater in the basement of a church. And it was so hot in the summer that they handed out these little fans that you like a postcard with a, you know, paint thinner or a paint stirrer stick.
Yeah.
And on it, it said, I'll never forget it. It said, live theater, it won't kill you. And I thought that was kind of a cool thing. And that little theater, you know, at that time, ended up becoming like 10 years later, this $3 million a year budget, huge space. Wow. Downtown Columbus. It's still there. And I was like there on the ground floor and just met a bunch of great people. And that's where I was when I finally moved out here.
That's so cool. Is that still there? Like, is it, do you ever go back and do shows? Like,
I did. Yeah. The first, like 10 years, I'd been here about 10 or 15 years and they asked me to come back because it was an anniversary of theirs. But in the years since then, it has gotten new artistic directors and I don't know anybody there anymore. No. My pictures are still up in some of the production, you know, stills on the walls, but no, I haven't in a long time.
I want to ask you before we get into Botched Legacy, Scott, since we're up against a break here in a couple minutes, so I'll just wait until after the break before we dig in there. But you, I want to make you feel really good about living in LA today because it looked like summer was on the way here or spring, and we get dumped on with snow today and sleet. It is so ugly outside.
Is it really?
Yeah. So, you know, you're in a good, you made the right decision is what I'm saying, at least to avoid this one day. But I want to ask you, since we're in Wisconsin, most of our listeners are in Wisconsin. Do you, you were in the Onion movie years ago and I somehow that slipped past me last time you were on or I didn't know.
Yeah,
that.
I was.
The Onion started here. What was that like?
I was really hoping it was going to be something. I think unfortunately the guys who were directing it and they couldn't have been nicer. They were great guys. They were actually, pretty big names in commercials directing, like a lot of guys get their start, you know.
Right.
And I had done a couple of commercials for them, but for whatever reason, when this movie was supposedly completed, they didn't have an, I don't think it was long enough. I think it was like, you know, 68 minutes or something, or I don't know. Wow. How that happened. It was one of the very first things I did movie wise out here. I mean, I had some really funny stuff in it. Everybody that was in it was great. I mean, we had some really nice big names in it, but it did come out, but I think it was kind of straight to video and didn't really make much of a, you know, a dent, so yeah. To speak.
That's crazy because my buddy Lance Barber was in a movie that those guys had done, and I like couldn't wait to see it because I love The Onion. And I saw the film and I was like, God, as funny as they were on paper, or at least with their publication, I just didn't think it translated to film for some reason, which was too bad. And I don't even know if it's the same guys. There are so many people who claim to have created The Onion. Who knows? But
They had a TV show for a while. I don't know whatever became of that. Oh, I think it was like, okay. I think we're about ready for
that.
That
was
break,
a good,
right?
Yeah. I remember that show. That was a good, yeah. Don't worry. Ignore Conrad. I will take care of this, Scott. I am just so glad you are here, buddy. you talk as long as you want to. Scott Klase is here. He's from the show, Botched Legacy, and he's got a ton of other credits. We'll talk about the new season of Botched Legacy, which drops March 27th with Scott. When we come back, it's Pete Schwabba and Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Washington State implemented their universal vote-by-mail system in 2013 and built in signature matching for identity verification. A March ruling by the state Supreme Court upholds that rule as constitutional because voters can cure discrepancies. Before the 2022 midterms, a state-commissioned audit found that younger voters, voters of color, and non-English speakers were far more likely to have their ballots rejected, and the rate of rejection varied by county. Two recent lawsuits challenged the signature matching rule, claiming that the lack of handwriting standards and the inconsistent science for signature verification resulted in the rejection of 4,500 Hispanic ballots in the 2020 primary and 36,000 ballots from all voters in the 2022 midterms. In the court's recent opinion, Justice Stephen C. Gonzalez acknowledged those rejections. All too many ballots are not counted because election workers cannot verify the voter's signatures and the voter does not or cannot cure their ballot in time. But the court found no bias, evidence of partisan malfeasance, or that voters were intentionally blocked from voting. It also found counties offered opportunities to cure those ballots. The state's auditor recommended more training for county election officials, outreach to the most affected voter groups to prevent discrepancies, and more valuable advice for any state verifying signatures. We'll have more on that in our next report. I'm Brian Beal.
Matt Nair on air.
You may say to yourself, self, what if I want to contact Doge and let him know that I'm unhappy with these cuts?
Do you know who had the same idea? Congressman Mark Pocan.
We couldn't get that number off the Doge website, and they literally just said that there is no one that you can speak to, and they didn't provide anything.
The administration of transparency. But you can't talk to anybody. That's okay.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. News from the Center, WRCE.
Jack Merrimack says, my favorite athletic event of all time was watching the U.S. Olympic 4x100 medley relay team swim to gold in the Atlantic Olympics. It was before the bombing, so there was virtually no security. I was down on the pool deck and had just talked to a couple of the swimmers. It was a thrill I'll never forget. Wow. I've heard of lack security, but that's... maybe Jack, were you wearing a Speedo and they just didn't know? Maybe they just let you down there. Jack always wears a Speedo. I remember that. I was doing stand-up in Myrtle Beach in 96, and my wife and I were just going back to the place they put us up, and I heard someone yell on the street, a bomb went off at the Olympics. One of those times you remember exactly where you are in history. AJ from the 608, he says, hey, Pete and Conrad, I love Badger women's volleyball. I also love watching the Packers and Badger football, but the volleyball is super exciting to me. No argument there, AJ. They have a great team, too. So keep those texts coming, folks. Rob Thomas is here at 7:20 to talk about movies and a little bit about the Wisconsin Film Festival. I'll be hosting a really cool Q&A down there this year that we'll talk about as well. Right now, my guest is my pal Scott Clace. He is one of the cast members of Bosch Legacy. And before that, Bosch, Scott, season three drops March 27th. I can't believe how much I've enjoyed this show. It was one of those things, like when I saw that you were on it, I was like, oh my God, Scott's on it. And then later Jamie McShane, our friend,
on
it. I'm like, this is such a great show. And it's got a couple of my pals in it. And, it's just, I absolutely love it. Tell us about season three, if you can.
Yeah. What can I tell you about season three? You know, Bosch Legacy for me, it was kind of a surprise. Like initially, if people remember when Bosch, the mothership, ended, Harry basically quit the LAPD, turned in his badge.
Right.
And they had told me, Michael Conley had told me that they were going to be doing kind of a spinoff of it. And I did not think I was going to be involved because they weren't going to be in the precinct. And I was pretty much only in the precinct. And the first season, I think I maybe did two. And those both felt like almost like gifts from them to me, because I didn't have a lot to do. It was like walking out to my car in one of them But it was just kind of a nice thing for them to do for me. But then all of a sudden in season two of Boston Legacy, I was in like every one of them. And I was just so shocked and grateful. This is going to sound terrible, but we shot season three so long ago. I kind of remember what it's about, but you know, my stuff is pretty limited to Maddie, who, you know, his daughter, and
who is
a
now
little
a
bit with Titus.
Yeah.
Correct. And that's how I was able to kind of still be a part of the show. Nice. Was they're still in the LAPD. I know I can tell you that it's really good. And, I know Harry gets into a little bit of trouble, and but you know, that's Harry Bosch for you. You know, he's always in hot water of some kind.
And that's why it's kind of it's been such a good show. I like that he's kind of an anti-hero in a way. But did you say before you were talking with Michael Connelly, the author of the books, is he that involved in the TV show?
Oh yeah. Yeah, oh, yeah. Wow. Michael was very involved. And I'm not sure if he is involved as much in Bosch Legacy as he was in the original, but he's still very involved. Like I see him on set and he's very good about coming and say, you know, talking to the actors. He's a really great guy, man. I tell you, I really think the world of him. That's one of the hard thing, you know, and of course this is our last season. I don't know if you've heard that of Bosch Legacy, which we didn't know. And it wasn't, I don't want to cause any controversies because there's been enough of that around here. There's a whole petition started. I think that's up to like 30 or 40,000 signatures now.
Whoa.
You know, the producers have kind of echoed, you know, or voiced their sentiment. Titus has said, you know, he was shocked and we didn't know. And so I know it's very popular. The thing is, it's very popular. It's the numbers are not the problem. I think the problem, as you probably know as well as anybody, it has to do with like demographics. You know, what's our audience? Is it young enough? You know, everybody's got to be young. So
right. Well, you're in your like what, late 30s now, or
almost 40. Yeah.
You play Scott Clace is my guest. He's one of the regulars on Bosch and Bosch Legacy. I love your role, Scott. You play Mink. The Watch Commander. Watch Commander is the coolest sounding vocation I've ever heard. And I loved it in L.A. Confidential when Ed Exley was the Watch Commander. Right. And you're at that same desk, basically, at Hollywood Station playing the Watch Commander. I mean, this has to be a dream role come true.
It really, you know, at first I didn't even know what a Watch Commander was. I thought a Watch Commander was like that guy you see in NYPD Blue that's like at the front desk when people walk into the station and say, "Now, what do you get out of here?" You know, that kind of a thing. I asked the producers at the time when we first started if I could possibly go over to Hollywood Station and hang out with the Watch Commanders, and they allowed it. It was one of the first times they allowed something like that. And so I spent a couple of days over there, and I was totally surprised. They're in charge of the detectives. They're in charge of the patrol, you know. And the thing that is so great about Bosch and Bosch Legacy is Hollywood Station is an exact replica of Hollywood Station, and I mean exact.
That's amazing. I was in there once, and I think we talked about this last time, and you said that. I couldn't believe it. I thought it was the actual – I was going from memory. But, hey, can we keep you for a few more minutes, Scott?
Of course. Of course.
All right, fantastic. Actor Scott Clace is here. We'll have more with Scott and maybe a surprise clip if we can find it for him after the news. You got Pete Schwabba and Nightlight hanging out with Scott Clace here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Since I met this little woman, I feel it's happened to me. And I'm telling you, it's too late to turn back now.
This is News from the Center, WRCE. Maggie Dawn.
Hey, everybody. I'm taking a little time off, but not to worry. We've got a special Women's History Month episode for you. I talk with some of my fabulous female colleagues here at Civic Media. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The legal battle escalates over the Trump administration's deportation flights. The judge in the case now demanding more information about two flights over the weekend.
The Justice Department's appealing a decision by a federal judge to block the Trump administration from deporting suspected Venezuelan gang members under the Alien Enemies Act, which means they can be deported without a hearing. The administration's lawyers say this is within the president's authority to protect the nation. They also maintain that the judge is not entitled to learn more about the men deported.
ABC's Brian Clark. President Trump had his first call today with Ukrainian President Zelensky since their blow-up in the Oval Office last month. Zelensky agreed to a limited ceasefire between Kyiv and Moscow. With the ceasefire shattered in Israel and in Gaza, Israel says that it will continue attacks there until Hamas releases the remaining hostages. Amid growing fears over a possible recession, the Fed today saying it's holding interest rates steady. This is ABC News.